Joining me on the line from Los Angeles, California, is James Packer. Good morning, James.
G'day, Ed. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Welcome to the show. Hey, James, we ostensibly rang you last week to have a chat about where Qantas was, because it's such a national icon. It was the first board outside of family companies that you were on a while back, and you actually had, I think, $13 billion on the table at one stage to sell Qantas alongside Margaret Jackson, the chairman, and Jeff Dixon. What happened, and why did you see it as a time to sell Qantas then, and how do you react to seeing what's happening to it now?
Well, mate, it's let me just say it's fun and a pleasure to be on your show. The last thing I want to do is get in the middle of the debate about Qantas or offend any people. It's obviously a big issue for everyone, and with the benefit of hindsight, and hindsight's easy. I think the bid, the bid would have been good for shareholders to take back then. I think, in truth, you'd probably still have a bunch of the issues that you have now, in the sense that Qantas would have been even more leveraged. So obviously there are tough decisions that are going to have to be made one way or another, and I'm not close enough to have a view or an opinion on which way they should be made. But it's sad in one sense, because, Qantas is clearly a company not doing as well as it once was, and it's an important company for Australia. And I do think, the one thing that I will say is I think Margaret Jackson got a tough time at the time, because she was pretty outspoken about saying people should take the bid. And, I think history is going to show that from a purely economic perspective for the shareholders at the time, Margaret was 100% right.
Hey, James, what is it that you look for when you look to sell these companies? You sold Channel 9 at the absolute top of the market. You were pushing for Qantas, which would have been the top of the market as well. You have a very broad view of China and an international place, not just here in Australia. Is that some of the things we probably do wrong in Australia? We're so far away that we just focus on things really close to us and don't take the world view at times?
Well, mate, I mean, I didn't have a big role in the fact that there was a bid made for Qantas. I was a director at the time, and there was a bid made, and it was a crazy time in life. Mm. And then, the board had to sort of say, should we accept this bid or not? And to be fair to the board, recommended that shareholders accepted the bid. I resigned when Margaret resigned, at the end of that process. But that's what I'd say on Qantas. In terms of Australia, I mean, Australia does so much, so many things so well, Eddie. So we are, it is the greatest country in the world, and it is the world's, most successful cultural melting pot. And, as you travel around, and if you're lucky like I am and you get to travel, you see that the fact that, there is such social harmony in Australia, and that multiculturalism, Australia is the best ad for multiculturalism in the world. So, they're the positives, but we do have to, it is a changing world in my view. And I think that Australia has to be determined to do everything to keep its traditional relationships intact. And we've got the most, special relationships, obviously, with America and the UK. But we should be trying to be friends with other rising powers. So, I don't think Australia should be in a position where it has to take sides on things, or it should avoid doing that as much as it can. And, we should treasure the relationships we've got with America and the UK, but we should build new relationships with China or build better. It's not, obviously Australia has a relationship with China, but we should be grateful for the business that they're, that they're providing to us as a country. Economically, the rise of Asia is something that's going to benefit Australia, and we need to be, sensitive to those relationships.
Speaking to James Packer, live from the United States. James, I hear you talk about China, and interesting to read that nearly half of your assets now are in China. Is there a roadblock in Australians' minds to doing business in Asia, and particularly in China? And do you feel like maybe you have overcome some of those hurdles, and the opportunities are now greater than they've ever been before?
Mate, I don't claim to be an expert on China. I've been lucky in business in China. I've spent quite a lot of time there now over the years, and I was I was chairman of SEEK actually for a while as well, and SEEK has got a successful business in China now as well. So it is possible to build businesses in China. That's what I'd say. Obviously, it's hard to build businesses, anywhere. I mean, I've had some big blow-ups as well as some successes, so I don't pretend to be an expert on anything, but I think Australian companies can do better in China. They've got to go up there. They've got to be respectful. I think that, they've got to keep their ear to the ground. They've got to work hard. There are no free lunches in life, but it is a huge opportunity. We've been lucky there, and China from a business perspective has been kind to our company.
James, you're the biggest employer of Victorians down at the Crown Casino. First of all, what does Crown Casino mean to you and Victoria? Because you spend a lot of time here. People don't see you so much, but you are down here a fair bit. You've got Barangaroo going up in Sydney, an opportunity to stamp something in your own backyard up there in the place where you grew up and is synonymous with Australia up in Sydney. And there's a lot of stuff going on in Melbourne and Sydney that you're involved in at the moment.
Well, mate, I'm incredibly proud of Crown Melbourne. I mean, Crown Melbourne is the head office of Crown. It's the home of Crown. It's where Crown started. Lloyd Williams, is a very special person, and a very special person in my life. And I'm really proud of Crown, as the business Crown. I mean, there are some things that, for instance, the federal government gives an award which talks about who's a good employer, et cetera. And we're lucky enough, Crown Melbourne has won the award 2 out of the last 4 years to be the best employer in Australia. So we try, and that doesn't mean we get everything right, but we try and treat, our staff and our employees well, and we get on well with the unions and all of that stuff. We pay a lot of taxes. We actually pay more tax, and not complaining about this. It's part of the contract we have with the government. But we pay more taxes as a percentage of our profit than any other company in the in the top 50 companies on the ASX. In terms of the product, in terms of Crown Melbourne, I'm incredibly proud of how the place looks. I think that the place really is world class, and that gives me a lot of pride. So, I'm very proud of Crown Melbourne, and the fact that we're getting to we're building a Crown Towers in Perth, and we're building Crown at Barangaroo. We as an Australian company are looking to reinvest our profits and build things that are of a global quality, and try and take advantage of that opportunity that we were talking about, which in my view is the rise of Asia.
Well, but how do you feel then when you pick up the paper yesterday and you see Apple are paying hardly any tax? They're paying less tax than we are in this studio, basically, and making a complete mozza. The internet
companies... it's a real issue. Yeah. It's a real issue. I mean, the rise of the internet is going to continue. The rise of the internet is one of the things that's going to shape the world, over the next 20 years. And I think it's just started. And for governments... the reality is, and it's great when you see Australian internet success stories like SEEK, and that's fantastic, and governments should do all they can to encourage that. But the reality is that most of the global internet companies are based in the US, and the way the tax treaties work and the trade treaties, it's basically meant that tax is optional for companies like Google and Apple, probably Microsoft, I don't know, but certainly Google and Apple are ones that are spoken about. And that's wrong. If you look at Apple, and reports something like a 40% pre-tax profit margin when they report their quarterly numbers in America. What they're doing is effectively, somehow or other saying that they're making no money in Australia. And, on that basis, they're not paying any tax. Now, don't get me wrong, I think Apple's maybe the greatest company in the world. And, Steve Jobs is the genius of our time. And it's not Apple's fault, because they're just taking advantage of the rules. But, the Australian government's going to really have to think about, how are these companies, how should these companies be treated from a tax perspective? Because at the end of the day, the tax base in Australia is under pressure. And, you know, companies, I think Apple did like $6 billion of revenue in Australia last year. So, you know, if you look at their global margins, you'd be saying they're making $2.5 billion pre-tax or something like that. And, you know, 30% on that $750 million. And again, I shouldn't be talking about Apple. I don't want to be offending anyone or anything like that. And they're a great company. It's not their fault. But it's a big issue, you know, that government's going to have to think about in terms of what is, in an internet world, in a digital world, you know, how are these companies going to be taxed in markets like Australia?
Mate, we're getting up to the 6:30 news, and I know you've got a lunch appointment, so I won't hold you too much longer, mate. A couple of quick ones. Tell us about Rat Pack. You're involved in one of the big production businesses.
Well, mate, it's not that big. Mate, it's not as big as people make out. It's small. we're trying to build a business, and we'll see where it gets to.
Yeah, small business for you is a pretty big business for us, mate.
You're a sweetheart.
What about and Warner Brothers? You're involved there. So the point I'm getting to is you're still involved in show business. It's not as if you turned your back on the show business or the media world. It must be amazing over there when you are sitting down and dealing with the big guys in Hollywood.
Mate, I'm very grateful for my life. I lead a very lucky, fortunate life, and you know I'm enjoying spending time in Los Angeles at the moment, and it's you know, it is the centre of, you know, of the movie business, and I think America's greatest export is culture, and I think, you know, the movies are a big part of that.
James, do you still get time to follow the cricket? I know you love Shane Warne's a great mate.
Michael Clarke, he is a rock star. He is an absolute hero. I mean, I didn't see it, but people were telling me that they did sit, gave him a body line treatment and score 160 and to win on the last day and to win away from home and won the Ashes 5-0. I'm so happy for the bloke. He's a terrific man, and obviously the team did great. And my other dear friend Warnie, I noticed, was over there, and he always helps. He's, you know, he's led a big life, Warnie, as we know.
He's having a bit of a nap during it too.
Right? Anyone. He's got a great cricket brain. So I'm so happy about the cricket.
No, he was sitting there in the stands, and he saw less of it than you did, I think. So, mate, and one last one: the Sydney City Rabbitohs last night defeated the Sydney Roosters 28-8. You barrack for the Roosters, and you sponsor the Rabbitohs. So there you go. You had a foot in each camp, mate.
You know David Gingell as well as I do, Eddie. I don't want to say anything. No, I'm happy that the team with the crown badge won.
Yeah, mate, he'll be filthy, but Russell Crowe will be happy, mate. And so are we for you taking some time to spend with us this morning. It's always great to hear from you, mate, and particularly in Melbourne on the radio. Enjoy the time over there in LA, and we'll see you back in Melbourne pretty soon at Crown.
Mate, thanks, Eddie. Thanks, Luke. Have a great day, guys.
Good on you, mate. James Packer joining us live from Los Angeles. Just having a bit of a general chat. We try to do that on Fridays, get people on who you don't hear that much about and let them have a bit of a say.